North Queensland farmers devastated by widespread flooding are being reassured today that their properties will be rebuilt, quote, farm by farm, station by station. That's the pledge from the Prime Minister, who'll be in Townsville to announce a range of measures to help graziers get back on their feet after last month's disastrous floods, which killed an estimated 500,000 cattle. A new recovery agency will be set up to develop a long-term plan to rebuild the shattered industry. And beef producers will be offered cheaper loans under a $2 billion plan to subsidise their debt. Scott Morrison is about to fly north to Townsville for this announcement. Before he takes up, he joins us this morning. Prime Minister, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good to be there, friend. Good to be here.
This is about rebuilding and reconstruction. Despite all this help, though, do you think the North Queensland cattle industry will ever be the same?
Well, I believe it will, but it's going to take a lot of work to get there. And as you rightly said, we've got to do this station by station, farm by farm. When I was up there a few weeks ago and talked to a lot of farmers, and all of their properties are different. The way they raise their herd genetically, what markets they play into, it's going to require a business plan for each and every single farm and station. And the support we're providing to them will enable them to realise those plans. So for some, they'll be able to get up on their feet much sooner. For others, it'll take much longer. And for some, I mean, to rebuild their herds genetically to where they've been, that will take a generation. But in all cases, I know that they will be working very hard to rebuild not just the businesses, very successful businesses that they are running in their farms, but the lifestyle that is so central, I think, to Australia's identity.
You're doing this through something you're establishing called the North Queensland Livestock Industry Recovery Agency. Its job is to help rebuild farm infrastructure, restock the herds, as you've just been saying. Do we have a final price tag for how much this is going to cost or the government's prepared to spend?
No, we don't, and because we really still don't even know now the full extent of the losses. I mean, there's been estimates of 500,000 stock losses, but I've heard higher than that. And, you know, the water is still draining. I mean, when I was up there a little while ago, I mean, stock was still dying from pneumonia.
So this comes without a budget allocation yet?
No, we will do what is necessary. And as I said, and there's three tools, particularly when it comes to the livestock industry. The first one is to be able to restructure their existing loans so we can take some of the immediate pressure off the debt that they have. And some of them are quite extended, not all of them, but that will be either done through their bank, and many will want to do it through their bank because they have so many other relationships. So we'll have an arrangement to ensure that they can get payment holidays and all of these things for some years to ensure them to get back on their feet. But when it comes to restocking the herd, there'll be two components. There will be grants to support restocking, and there will be loans, which again can be done either by the bank or through the Regional Investment Corporation, where those loans for those stock can be secured against the stock, not against their properties. And this is incredibly important. This was one of the key pieces of feedback I got from the farmers. When we restock, we need to be able to secure the loans against the stock. So we're helping two ways. A, by putting effectively equity into that stock through the grants, and that means the banks and the Regional Investment Corporation can loan the balance. And for every property, those restocking programs will be different, and they'll have their plan for doing that based on their country.
Okay. And according to your announcement, there's $2 billion there for loans by the government being offered through the banks, as that's how I understand it, at a lower interest rate. How cheap will these loans be? Are you fixing an interest rate? And how can you be sure the lower rates will be passed on to the farmers? How do you monitor that?
Well, there's two things. And look, the overall estimate there is a media estimate. So whether it's that much, I mean, already we've put $110 million out since the floods, both in Townsville and across North Queensland.
This is different, though, through the banks, isn't it? The banks are being, you're essentially underwriting these bank loans.
That's basically it. It's a form of guarantee, and which will reduce the cost of funds, which means all of that cost of funds will be passed on to each of the farmers in their restructuring of their existing debts. And that is the same for the restocking loans as well. But the backstop on all this is we can do it through the Regional Investment Corporation. So, you know, what is effectively the government's bank.
Okay.
And so if there's not a better deal coming from the bank, then we can offer that directly through the Regional Investment Corporation.
And how good is that deal? What's the rate?
Well, it's going to depend on people's holdings and their... But it's going to be lower, a hell of a lot lower than they're paying right now. And basically what on the cost of funds is for what the government gets. And so at the moment, that's around 2.7 to 3. But in some cases, you can structure the debt so it could be as low as 1%, depending on how you you know, work through the program. And this is why the authority is so important, Fran, because this has to be worked out farm by farm, station by station. So this is why we're appointing this authority to work with every single station on their business plan. Because one of the things that was said to me by a very canny farmer up in Julia Creek in the pub, at Gannon's pub, was, we don't want compensation, we want reconstruction. And so we're going to partner with them in that reconstruction, you know, every beast by beast on every property.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, on his way to Townsville to offer this reconstruction package to the farmers. On other issues, Prime Minister, the Queensland floods were due to unprecedented rainfall. Takes us to climate. According to the Weather Bureau, our country has just endured its hottest summer on record. We've also seen just this week the government's most up-to-date figures on emissions levels show that carbon output continues to rise.
Well, it actually went down off the last one, Fran.
No, the last quarter.
On the quarterly result, it actually went down. So I just thought we should point that out.
Yeah, but over the year to September 2018, emissions were up 0.9%.
No, I'm not disputing that. I'm just saying it actually went down in the last quarter. These numbers do jump around a bit.
Okay, but the government keeps telling us emissions are falling. Your own data shows that over the past year, up to September 2018, they didn't fall, they went up.
Well, emissions fell 1.4% relative to the June quarter. That's actually what happened. That's driven by the lowest quarterly emissions from the electricity sector in more than a decade. So look, these numbers do jump about, but our emissions reductions targets are actually based on a budget for abatement to 2030, and I set that out very clearly on Monday as how we're going to meet that commitment. Now, it's been 5 days now, and the Labor Party still hasn't told us how they're going to meet their commitment. I mean, people can criticise my target, but they're welcome to do that, but I've laid out very clearly how I'm going to meet it. Bill Shorten has not done that. He's talking around a 45% emissions reduction target. It's going to cost wage earners, people, $9,000 a year, and he's not telling them how he's actually going to meet the target. So at least I'm telling people and being transparent and upfront about it.
Well, your figures show the emissions are going up, but let's put that aside, because what has happened this week is you've really emerged, I think, as almost an evangelical supporter of pumped hydro. There's really been no mention of coal this week. Will all this pumped hydro into the system, all this dispatchable baseload power, we won't need new coal to provide the same, will we?
Well, look, they're decisions that will be made by investors and suppliers and energy companies and others in terms of how they're meeting the supply to the market. What I'm saying is that a key part of our emissions abatement, because remember, let's be clear, the 2030 target is based on a budget for carbon abatement. So you have to meet a tonnage level of abatement over that period. Now, for us, that means we've got to find $328 million tonnes of abatement. And we're on track to achieve that, certainly on track to hit 2020, in fact, beat it. By 367 million tonnes. Now, Labor's plan on 45% would require, on the same accounting basis, three times the amount of abatement by 2030. And I'm simply saying, Bill, how are you going to get there? I've told the Australian people how I'm going to get there, and he should tell them how they're going to get there, because, you know, is he going to borrow foreign carbon credits? We're not doing that. We're not buying any foreign carbon credits under our plan.
Well, you are using 328 million tonnes of Kyoto credits.
No, they're Australia's credits because we achieved them. We will overperform on the 2020 targets.
Okay.
And when Kyoto was set, Fran, it was set on the basis that you could carry over credits.
Okay.
Why? Because they wanted to encourage countries to overachieve.
What I'm asking you is, in the government underwriting process that's underway, you've already named one program today, this week, that's in Tasmania, that's with pumped hydro. Does that mean all this pumped hydro, the government won't be needing to underwrite new coal?
Well, I'm not making any statements on that.
Why would we need to, though, with all this pumped hydro?
Well, they are decisions that will be made within the energy market. And what we're doing...
Well, no, this is government decision I'm talking about, underwriting with government taxpayers' money.
Well, we have a process in place for that, and we've made no announcements on that process, Fran, so I'm not going to prejudge that. But the role that the pumped hydro plays, we've got record investment already coming in the renewable sector. And if you don't have the storage capacity, which we are building both in Snowy 2.0 and the pumped hydro projects in Tasmania, you basically have to dump that renewable power. What this does is provide the firming opportunity through pumped hydro, which means you don't have to dump that, which means lower electricity prices. So pumped hydro, it has been a missing piece of our energy puzzle. And if we're going to meet our obligations to future generations, just like all of those hydro developers back in Tasmania did 50 years ago, and people railed against them at the time and eventually stopped them from doing it, I mean, that has turned out to be the thing that actually makes renewables work and make them reliable in the future. So that's why we're supporting it. Just makes a lot of sense.
You're listening to Breakfast. It's 14 to 8. Our guest is the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, also this week, the government hailed the departure of the last children off Nauru as a big achievement, which it undoubtedly was. There are still about 1,000 adults there in Nauru and Manus Island. The US resettlement program won't cater for all of them. What happens to them? Are they just going to be left indefinitely on Nauru and Manus?
Well, in both countries where they've been found to be refugees, they're living in countries that have signed the Refugee Convention.
So that's the plan, they just stay on Nauru and Manus.
Well, that is exactly what Labor set out when they announced that they were going there in the first place, that they said they'd never be resettled in Australia.
So that is our government, the Australian government's plan.
I haven't changed the policy on that. And the Labor Party have sought to change it by effectively abolishing offshore processing by what they did in the Parliament, and to provide a loophole to allow people to come to Australia from both of those countries, simply for the purpose of the medical assessment, which they can get quite ably on Manus and Nauru, particularly Nauru, where there's 60 medical professionals.
Well, just on that.
One for every seven people.
Just on that, and you know there's hundreds of doctors who argue with you on that, but your Minister, Peter Dutton, this week has warned that Australians will be kicked off waiting lists for hospitals and public housing by an influx of transferees under that legislation. There's so far only about 70 refugees and asylum seekers requiring medical evacuation. Even if that number was in the hundreds, given they're going to Christmas Island, not the mainland, isn't it just scaremongering from your Minister?
Well, the Christmas Island, and if someone needs, this is what currently happens, if someone needs very serious medical attention, they've always been getting it. They've always been brought to Australia for it, and they've either come, and some of them have gone to Port Moresby, some of them have gone to Taiwan.
And 900 have come to Australia, and that hasn't seemed to undermine the border protection policy.
Well, we didn't change the border protection policy. What Labor did in the Parliament was change the policy and the setting.
Isn't it scaremongering to say this will kick people off the public waiting list?
No, it's not, friend. It's just a simple fact. If we've got to treat more people in Australia, then obviously they're going to take the place of people who are getting that treatment anyway. It's just simple math.
Prime Minister, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Fran. One last thing before I go. The other thing we're announcing in Townsville today is the small business assistance. So this is for flood-affected small businesses in Townsville. That assistance will go from $25,000 to $50,000 today under the Category D announcement that the Premier and I have agreed this week. So it's one of the reasons I'm going to Townsville, is that we're delivering additional support to Townsville small businesses. They've obviously been devastated by those floods as well.
Prime Minister, thank you very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison.